Baroness Tanny Gray Thompson won 11 Paralympic gold medals. Sarah Gosling as Sarah Webb won 2 Olympic sailing golds in Athens in 2004 and in Beijing in 2008. Tanny, 11 gold medals, which one meant the most to you?
It would be my 100 metres in Athens, which was my 10th medal, and mostly because my 800, which was my strongest event, was a complete disaster and was horrific. And, you know, I came 7th in the final, very upsetting. You know, I made some tactical mistakes. And I think everyone had written me off, you know, the media, probably my coaches, my family, everybody. And I came back and won 2 more golds in Athens. So for me, that was relief as much as anything else, because although one bad race doesn't make you a bad athlete, when you lose in front of lots of people, it's really not very pleasant.
And Sarah, of your 2, which one meant the most?
I think the second one. We had very different journeys to get to the top of the podium, and this, a bit like Tanny said, it was the sense of relief. I felt like I could breathe out for the first time in 4 years when we actually stood on that podium. And so to me, that was the culmination of a very different journey that I was very much part of.
Yeah. When did that journey start?
For me, sailing, when I was 6. And I wouldn't say, I was an Olympic athlete at 6, but I remember watching the Olympics in 92 and seeing Sally Gunnell and really then believing it was possible. Ben Ainslie came home from Atlanta in 96 with a silver medal, and I looked at this guy who I'd known since I was 10 and had the same training as him, and I thought, well, if he can do it, there's absolutely no reason why I can't. I just need to knuckle down and get on with it.
But not everybody, of course, wants to do it. Actually, I would say many of us have dreamt seriously of doing it, being able to do it. What makes you the sort of person who is quite one-dimensional almost, prepared to put other things aside and indeed to expect other people to put parts of their life aside as well, for you, Sarah?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we have to be completely obsessed. There's no opportunity to do anything other than train and compete and think about it. And I think that's what I've noticed since, when I've now become a mother. It's very, very difficult to try and do both, because actually you have to be entirely selfish and self-obsessed and obsessive about everything you do. You know, you're constantly thinking about winning, you're constantly thinking about what your next training program will be, what your next goals are going to be. And I think if you've got anything else in your life that takes a little bit of your time or your thinking ability, that's a real compromise.
Tanny, you had a daughter at Caris. Mm. How quickly were you back training?
I was back in my chair just over a week after having her, and I was sort of at a training camp when she was 2 weeks old, and I did my first race when she was 3 weeks old. But I mean, I think we're quite lucky in athletics, because, you know, tracks are relatively safe, and you know, she'd sit in a pram or in a little walker, and then when she got a bit bigger, we'd just put her in the long jump pit with a bucket and spade and tell her we were going to the beach.
But did you ever think of just knocking it on the head at that point?
No, I wasn't ready to give it up, because this obsession was still there. And I mean, I suppose I had her when I was 32, so I didn't want to wait another couple of years to have her. But her birth was completely timed around my competition schedule. I wanted to do Commonwealth Games in 2002, so counted back 6 months, then counted back 40 weeks, and said to my husband, if I'm not pregnant by this date, it's not happening. So you have to be that focused. It's much harder on women than men, because, you know, you have to think about the blocks of training and what you can do when you're pregnant and what you can't do.
Sarah, you've had your son since you gave up competing. Do you believe it would be possible to compete at the highest level with a child for a woman?
For the time that we had between now and London, absolutely not. But I think I would never say never. But I think the difficulty is with sailing is, unlike any other Olympic sport, we are actually completely in control of our own destiny. We have to own our Olympic boats. We have to work out our plan, logistically get them around the world, you know, which means organising containers and shipping. We employ our own coaches, and we have to do everything. So it's not literally like, I'm not sort of belittling that you turn up at the track and you go running, but for us it's actually much more of a full-time job in terms of, you know, the fundraising. It's a massive budget that we have to find, and then we have to do all our sponsor work, and everything is entirely on our shoulders, which therefore makes the medal so much better when you stand on the podium, in my opinion.
I want you to take me to that podium in Athens in 2004. You were one of the so-called three blondes in a boat. And did that whole medal award ceremony fantasy live up to the dreams you'd had of it?
I think it was even better. It was, crossing the finish line was just surreal. Shirley said, come on, let's jump in. And obviously that was the picture on the front of every single newspaper, which is in itself kind of weird, because you wouldn't ever expect to be on the front of a newspaper. And as we were towed into the dock, Ian Walker, our coach, stopped the boat and we all had a quick chat. And he said, you know, your life will be changed. When you hit the dock, you know, get ready for it, take a breath and you know, be ready. And Sarah and I sort of looked at each other, didn't really understand what they meant. But of course, it was completely different. And we went on this whirlwind journey of press and everything. And the first interview I did was with the BBC. And they asked me a question, were my family here? And my father was with his mother in Scotland. My mother and sister were. And so I said, no, it's a real shame that my dad isn't going to be here. And whilst we finished early, it meant that actually he potentially had the opportunity to get out to Athens. I didn't know he did that. And we spent the day that we should have been racing, mucking around,
drinking, I dare say.
No, we weren't drinking, actually. We were in the spa, getting our hair done. But anyway, and we stood just about to go out on the podium, and we were in the tunnel, and completely bizarrely, I managed to catch my father's eye in the crowd, and it absolutely threw me. I had no idea he'd come to Athens. I had no idea he was, you know, managed to get a ticket and was going to be out there to watch me get my medal. And seeing him just completely threw me, and I was absolutely in tears. I couldn't emotionally cope with it, because that was just the most amazing thing for me personally.
Do you relive that moment?
Yes. Because I think, you know, that reminds me what it was all about and reminds me how much it mattered to me. And, you know, it was so important that everyone who had played a part in the journey was actually there to see the main moment.
Tani, what about you? And for those of us who won't ever be there, what is that national anthem moment like?
It's incredible. I mean, for us competing on the track, you might be in front of 85,000 people. It's amazing to do a lap of honour in front of that. Then you get sort of shoved off the track because there's another event 2 minutes behind, and you sit in a room for about an hour and a half waiting, which I have to say is quite dull. And then you're literally kind of shoved back out on the track again for your medal ceremony. And even in a crowd of 85,000, I was always able to pick out my family, mostly because they had a Welsh flag and a Union Jack. And it's lovely to be able to have your family around, because while I never had to sacrifice anything to be an athlete, and I also married an athlete, which helped, my family put up with loads for me when I was, you know, travelling. I missed Christmases, birthdays. You know, my sister based her wedding around my competition schedule because she got married in 2000, which was Sydney. So it's amazing. But, you know, you're on the podium for 40 seconds and then you're kind of pushed away again because, you know, there's another medal
someone
ceremony
else's
another
turn.
Event.
Yeah.
So it's such a short moment. But because I did multiple events at Games, it was only really the last one that you got to enjoy, because while you're waiting for other events to come, you're still thinking, right, I need to be back in the village, I need to eat within half an hour, I need to sleep, I need to do this, I need to rehydrate. And you it was only ever right at the end of the Games that I could really enjoy it.
Well, Tani, congratulations to you, because a lot of people, of course, live through your dreams. And I think that's something that perhaps people like you and Sarah need to realise, that we've all been there with you and for you, and we absolutely love it because we'll never be able to do it ourselves. Tani, thank you very much. And Sarah, just very briefly, will you be able to watch London, or is it still a little bit?
I think it will be very different this time, mainly because I've got opening ceremony tickets, which I'm absolutely thrilled about. Yeah, we got them in the ballot, so I'm really thrilled, because having never been to an open ceremony or even watched it on telly, you know, it's a whole different way to start the Olympics.
But so, watching the sailing, be honest.
I'm not sure.
No? You were honest.
No, I have just been in Weymouth, actually, and I was surprised at how enjoyable it was. But, it, yeah, it's. I hope they all do well.